Hi, it's Diane, and it is April 9th. I'm here with the Noon PSS group. So far, we have Rachel and Artie and Teresa and Erin. Who wants to start us off with celebrations and check-ins? Crickets.
Okay, this is Teresa, and I'm going out of my comfort zone because I don't feel like I have great success to share. It's been a tough couple of weeks, but I do, one of the things that I said that I would do was to go back to the Sanity School and look at that re-listen to Activating the Brain, which is great. It almost felt like I had never heard it the first time. And so that was very helpful for me. And if I have to say success, it's not even necessarily related to what I was supposed to be focusing on in terms of motivation and buy-in, but just I have been much more successful at remaining calm, and maybe it's a lag, like I'm back to the curious, so I'm not losing kind of just jumping right in and being impulsive myself, and I'm keeping my voice down and soft and not losing, you know, just not getting, trying to prevent that triggering. So I wish I could say I had a great success in terms of motivation and buy-in, but maybe that will be next week since I just seem to lag. It's hard to teach an old dog new tricks, I think.
Well, and here's what I would say, Teresa, is number one, celebrate. We're going to talk about celebration today, right? So we've got to celebrate even the little baby steps. And I know for you, that whole trigger management and kind of getting into a space where you can stay triggered, our ability to stay untriggered, our ability to problem solve is directly correlated to our ability to stay calm. And so step one is usually just, how do I stay calm? It sounds like you've made some progress.
Thank you.
Good. All right. Erin, what about you?
Sort of similar, actually. I was on a call, it's been a month, I missed the last one, but my focus was on kind of refocusing on relationship with my son so we could do better with problem solving because we were both very triggered, and we've really done that. Things have gotten a lot calmer at home. The problems are still there, so I need to plan on when to revisit that, but I feel pretty good about being able to refocus like that, and I also have started meditating, just baby steps with that, which is helping.
That's awesome. So what, I know you were working with your son on the trigger piece of it. What, and a lot of folks on this call have older kids. What were some of the things you did to collaborate with him on that trigger management?
You know, I actually have to say I did something very different for me, which I really just started with myself. And looking at what I needed to do sort of in relationship with him to calm myself down. And he seems to be following suit. So I really feel like I went way back to baby steps because I'm not sure how to collaborate with him. I mean, he seems to be, when I'm calm, he's pretty calm.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he kind of has it, like he's pretty dependent on me for that. Like, I don't know how well he's able to calm himself down if I'm not calm. So, if that makes sense, I feel like...
So you just focused on you and focused on the model that you could be for him, and that took the shift of the energy over away from him, which kind of gave him the space to stay calm as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think he really fits sort of what you talk about a lot here. Like, I have to remind myself, he's 17, but I think he's younger than that. So mm-hmm. I kind of overshoot his ability to kind of self-regulate sometimes. And I feel like that's what I dialed into. It's like, I don't think he's able to do some of what I'm asking him to do. And coming from that place, things are working better. That's what I mean when I say, I just don't know how well he's able to self-regulate. So when I got off of pushing him to do things, things are calmer. So now I get to reset and look at how to take that next step from this calm.
So you're down to a more realistic expectation and trying to figure out what the next level of independence is. And
exactly. Yeah. It's like this month has been this kind of, in a way, like dialing back and resetting.
Love that. Rachel or Artie, what about you guys?
I'll go. I feel like I've kind of really been taking a step back and really focusing on my relationship with Shane, our son. He's 10. And, you know, that's been helping a lot. Like, I feel like it's always been pretty close, but, like, the last couple of weeks he's been sharing, you know, different things and, you know, when he's scared or different thoughts or things that happen at school. And so that's felt really good. Because I feel like that is really the key, is to stay close, you know, he and I, first of all. And then this doesn't have much to do with me, but, like, with the nice weather, but it's been nice. He comes home with a lot of his homework done now. Because because of that motivation piece that we've talked about, and that for him is time outdoors. So he's needing, you know, my support in the afternoon with homework less, and that's been easier on for everybody, I think.
Yeah. So what comes up for me, Rachel, and Artie, feel free to chime in here, is that sort of what's the opportunity to help Shane see what you're noticing, which is when there's this motivation to go outside, that he's more able to get stuff done in school. Or, hey, I noticed, buddy, that you're getting a lot more stuff done at school. What's up? Or just kind of see whether he's even noticed it, you know?
Oh, that's a great suggestion. I don't know why I didn't think of that, but, yeah, to get him to tune into that, yep.
Because sometimes it's even just the tool, and we don't explicitly teach it in Parent Success System, is be the camera, right? So it's just that sort of tell him what you are seeing. Without judgment, without anything else, but just say, hey, I noticed this is going on. Did you notice? What do you think?
Right. No, that's cool. A good idea.
Artie, what about you?
I'm just happy to just be constantly getting more information and reinforce things that I just relate to the previous share. Like, you know, I think Shane's older than he is. And it doesn't matter what age it is. I want him to be as independent as possible, and I just have to be careful about expecting too much of the independence from him, because and the emotional regulation, I know I just have to keep it on the forefront that, you know, his ability. His ability to do, you know, and his inability to control his emotions and you know, like that 3 to 5 years younger, you know, that's what I'm getting out of this, is just hearing other people relate to that. And, you know, it's pretty heavy, because it's hard for me to understand all the time, because in so many ways he functions as a 10-year-old and or above. And, all of a sudden, he's not. So it's, I'm just happy to be here listening.
Yeah. No, and I think that's the piece about Artie, is this constant adjusting of expectations and making sure that we're challenging our kids to be independent, but doing it from where they are rather than where we wish they would be. And it sounds like you're getting some good perspective on that.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, well, let me loop back around and see where everybody wants to take aim. Teresa, what about you?
So, well, I feel that I need to focus more. Are we taking aim on the concepts that we did last week, or are we taking just aim in general based on, like, what aha things we're having right now? What are we taking aim on?
You can do it either way around. Either way, there's lots of times that we say, you know, I'm going to continue to take aim on what I took aim on last time because I need to continue to rinse and repeat, or mm-hmm. I need more time, or I need a different perspective. It may be that something came up this week that you want to take aim on. It may be that there's something around today's topic of championing and celebrating that kind of makes you feel like, okay, this is where I want to take aim.
Okay. So all of it, I've got to say, all of it resonates so well with me. But I love the April chapter, and I feel like if I'm going to be successful at this point with Jacqueline, we have to connect better. And so I love this chapter or this focus of championing and celebrating, because I'm realizing, without me even knowing it, that there has been an unconscious almost, you're doing things wrong, and that I need to really intentionally practice the 3-5 ratio and really bite my tongue a lot and just count or pray or breathe or something, and only speak up when there's right now in terms of reconnecting, because I have to reconnect with her. So I want to take aim at that, the celebrating the positives.
So it sounds like you're taking aim on reconnecting and strengthening the relationship at a macro level. And that one of the tools you've been focused on is this idea of the ratio of praises versus corrections, which we've talked about in the positivity chapter, and the fact that, you know, the ratio needs to be 3-1 or 5-1, kind of depending on how adventurous you are. And how big the challenges are on a day-to-day basis. So does it make sense so I'm going to challenge you to stay a little bit more with the change you want to see, which it sounds like is two pieces. One is that you want to be more focused on the positive, and then the other is you want to strengthen the relationship. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. So you may end up maybe change your strategy and what you're actually doing to do that as you go through this, but it sounds like specifically it's you're strengthening the relationship by focusing more on positivity than corrections.
Yes.
Good. Okay. Erin, what about you?
Sorry, I had you muted. Is this like the really specific taking aim?
Well, if you need help taking aim, we can take aim from a macro level, and I can help you narrow down.
Yeah, okay. So, sorry, I got a little off track there. Okay, so I want to maybe choose something. I'm really motivated to help my son or to support him to take some steps toward, well, either contribution or independence. They sort of feel the same to me, contribution at home. And there's like a million things I could choose from. There's things that he just needs to do for himself. There's things that I need him to do around the house. And he also wants to make money at home. Mm-hmm. So I sort of think where part of all this reactivity was coming from is I was like too much, like, okay, we're going to do all of this week. So
yeah.
Well, I kind of see like, okay. Yeah.
So this is something that you've taken aim on before, and so I guess the question is, at one point I remember you were going to even just start by having a conversation with him about making money and about doing more around the house.
Yes.
How far did you get with kind of starting the process?
Well, we were meeting every week, and we have this notebook where we check in on stuff, and I mean, I guess reflecting back on that, we did make some progress in this interesting because he's got a few things every week that I think he now understands he needs to do. I still have to remind a lot. I still have to help him a lot with devoting, an appropriate amount of time and also the time of the day. Like, we're not going to vacuum at 11 o'clock at night, that kind of thing. So
yeah.
I guess that part's better. The making money part is not better. So
I guess the question is it sounds like when how much do you find yourself in kind of the all or nothing phase where it's this sort of either I'm telling him everything he needs to do or I want him to be able to do it completely independently?
How often am I there? Like, regularly?
Okay. All right.
I
so
mean,
where do you
sort of
where do you want to be from a mindset perspective with this?
Well, I want to take another step, I think, because I appreciate that. You just sort of remind, like, gave me some, I don't know, reflection that we actually have made progress. So,
mm-hmm.
so that's really good to remember that. So maybe just building on that, because we got, everything got, like, so triggered and then stepping back, I'm probably feeling like I've stepped more back than I actually have. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, and so I think that that's the piece, and I'm going to say it out loud for all of us, that, you know, if we go back to the webinar Elaine and I did, I think it was in February, where we're talking about how to help your kids to become more independent. It really is about becoming more independent and really seeing those steps between they can't do anything without 17 reminders and they're doing it all completely independently and really mapping out and seeing, well, what's a little bit more independent look like and what's a little bit more independent.
Yeah.
So if you have to remind them 10 times, you know, maybe more independent is you only have to remind them twice or
yeah.
You know, you help him figure out what his own reminder system is instead of you being the reminder. I mean, those sorts of things. So, Erin,
like
where
so
does that?
It's a huge. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Go ahead.
It's a big aha for me because when I reflect back to like 3-6 months ago, like we've actually made a lot of progress. Yeah, that's really important right there. So I think for taking aim, what I actually want to do is just go back to what we've been doing. I mean, I think that the Sunday thing, and I started keeping this little notebook just to remind both of us, this is where we were last week, to restart that because I think he's open to it. And get specific about just specific things that that he would like to take on, that I would like to have him take on. Because I think I got overwhelmed too, which is why I started feeling like, oh, this whole thing just failed. It's terrible, you know? When really, now that I am calm and focused right now, it wasn't at all a failure. It just kind of went off track for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But it really was working okay, you know? So I could check back with him, like, tonight, like, or a game, to restart that, and I think he'd say yes, and then we could restart, like, this Sunday.
So does it start with a conversation? Does it start with a plan? Where are you taking aim?
It starts with a conversation tonight, which will be very short. Do you want to do this or not? and then we just have we're meeting on Sundays. We literally would like make an appointment and sit for half an hour, 60 minutes, and just go over, like, here's the things we talked about last week that you and we wanted to work on. We do like a check-in. What's the next step? Very much like we do here, like a sort of being like mom coach.
Well, yeah, you're taking the coach approach to parenting. Go, Erin.
Yay. But, I mean,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, so that's the two things. I mean, the conversation tonight, my goal would be to restart these meetings. I mean, I guess he might say no, and then I have to figure out.
Well, but what it sounds like, so let me, let me reframe you on what I think you're taking aim on, because I think what you're taking aim on is really partnering with him to work on this area of helping around the house.
I'm actually way more open than that. It's more like just this broad, like, because it's helping around the house. It's how does he want to earn money? He's starting community college in the fall. What needs to happen with that? But just, like, I think it's still relationship, but like you say, like partnering with him. But the big things, yes, are helping around the house, earning money. I think we sort of had a breakdown in those conversations because things flamed out and the relationship got difficult. And then I decided that nothing had worked ever. So,
yeah.
You know.
Okay.
This is good. Yeah.
So you're opening up to focus on using the door you've got open with relationship to really start collaborating on a bunch of things over the next several months before
like
college starts.
Collaborating on his independence, which, as you've helped me reframe this, we have been doing pretty well. So pick that up again
awesome.
And restart.
Okay, cool. Rachel, what about you?
I was just talking to Artie about what to take aim on, and I'm feeling a little bit like I could use some help with that, actually.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
So what were you working on for the last – what have you been taking aim on for the last couple of weeks, Rachel?
Well, for me, it was more like the connecting more with him.
I'd like to take aim more on, you know, we still have a little bit of a disagreement of different ideas about, you know, the morning, you know. I personally don't feel like he needs so much do this, do that, do this, do that. Like, he's going to get out the door for school, and it's going to happen. He has done it in the past. And I'd like to take aim on just, you know, giving him a little more independence in that area and not, you know, not kind of just constantly on him. But again, I relate it to the other shares about, you know, it took us years, but Shane now understands it's his job to take out the recycling. And you know, he's just about broke. Because he's always, you know, he's like, oh, can I buy this pair of NBA shorts? And I say, yeah, you know, how much are they? Well, you know, go get your money, and I'll put my credit card in, and you can pay for them. And I want him broke, because I want him to understand that he wants more money, and I want him to be in the position where, you know, we'll give him another chore for an increased salary. So I guess I'd like to take aim on both of those things, you know. The school year is a couple more months, and I'd like to take aim on that morning routine and giving him a little more of his own mindset, of his own doing. And I don't care if he's late to school 1 or 2 days a week or 1 or 2 days in the beginning, because he definitely does not want to be late. He's terrified of the principal.
So hang on a second, Artie. So one of the things that I want to check in with Rachel, because we've been talking about this idea of steps to independence. And so part of what I want to challenge you guys to narrow in on is not what independent in the morning looks like, but a little more independent in the morning looks like. And maybe what are three ideas that you guys can come up with by the end of this call for ways that he could take on a little bit more responsibility in the morning, or an area where you might take aim on talking to Shane about taking more responsibility and being a little bit more independent. Rachel, what comes up for you as I say that?
And I like that idea about bringing him in on it. And maybe, you know, maybe the start would be, you know, say, listen, buddy, you know, a lot of times I'm giving you reminders in the morning about the time, but now as you're getting older, I know that you're able to, you know, you're able to do more. So I'm going to be giving less of those reminders. You know, maybe starting with something simple like that. I don't know if
or
that's concrete
what
enough.
He notices,
but.
Right? Well, and I think they're seeing what he notices because he may need the reminders because that may be a major executive function challenge for him, but he might be able to manage the list of things that need to be done on his own, right? And or he may, you know, you keeping time might be different than a reminder. You know, it may be just saying, hey, it's 7:05, Shane, what do you need to be doing right now? Which is different than Shane, go brush your teeth, Shane, get down for breakfast, those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I have been doing that, posing it more as a question, so he's telling me, getting him to think about it.
And Artie, can you see how that's more independent?
Yeah, definitely. But either way, I feel like we got to, you know, loosen the reins a little bit.
Well, and so I guess that's the question. It says it sounds like, so the reality is that asking questions of Shane instead of telling him what to do is actually loosening the reins. Because you're asking him to recall what's next instead of telling him what's next. And the first part of understanding what's next is being able to recall what's next.
I guess the big thing is with Shane is, you know, he'll get up, get out the door, and not eat or drink anything.
Yeah. Well, there's all of these moving pieces, and so I think that's the piece of it. And I know Artie or Rachel, you were talking about, you know, coming up with a list with him and doing some other stuff. So I love the idea of more independence in the morning. Rachel, where specifically are you taking aim within that?
Well, as I said, it's sort of just being, you know, getting questioning, you know, okay, Shane, where are you at now? What's next?
So self-awareness of where he is. Self-awareness of where he is in the process. And so kind of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Okay, so we are talking about championing and celebrating today, which is a great, great tool for a couple of reasons. One is that it helps us to keep motivation, right? And everybody is motivated by success on some level. And Teresa was talking about the 3-to-1 ratio of praises to corrections. If we can keep that ratio high where we're focusing on good job. Thank you so much for bringing the dishes to the counter. Let's put them in the dishwasher now instead of you didn't get them in the dishwasher. It helps them to feel more positive, more motivated. And it's about, you know, catching them being good because we have kids that screw up a lot. So the more we focus on what they are doing well instead of what's not working so well, the more motivated they become and the easier it is for them to continue to collaborate and continue to make progress. The other part of this is that we need to celebrate for ourselves, right? I heard several of you talk about how much better things are, even though it feels like, I mean, Teresa, I was reflecting on you and it's like, oh, I don't have any successes. And then you talked about the great progress you're making in managing your own triggers, which is an enormous success for many of us. That's like a huge endeavor to avoid getting triggered. And so just celebrating and taking a minute and going, yeah, I have really been working hard on this and I deserve to celebrate. I'm going to take myself out for ice cream or whatever we do to reward ourselves because we're working hard as parents and our kids are working hard to change our behaviors so that we can ultimately change the family dynamic. The other piece of this is kind of learning from the successes. So the header at the top says solutions are in the successes. And we always do this debrief with our kids. It's like, what's working? What's not working? What do we want to do differently? And I'm going to challenge this as if you guys are using that language, continue to use it, but focus really in on what can we learn from what's working? High five. Great job. That's working. Where can we, you know, it's like it's working in the morning. I have parents say this all the time. It's like I finally got my kid going out the door in the morning, but I'm having problems after school. what can I learn from what's working in the morning and apply it to the challenge after school to maybe to make it easier in the afternoon? So the solutions are in the successes. We need to celebrate ourselves, celebrate our kids. And then this idea of championing, just a quick commercial about this, is sometimes our kids need us to believe in them even when they don't. And a lot of times our kids particularly will say stuff that makes it sound like they don't care or they don't, you know, they're not, you know, that they're not bought in. But a lot of times they've got these kind of self-defeated attitudes that lead them to using that language. And so our kids always need us to believe in them, even when it doesn't look like they believe in themselves. So what comes up for all of you guys on these areas of championing and celebrating?
Well, after I had read this material in preparation for today, I was very frustrated because, I was frustrated this morning because I had asked my daughter yesterday evening to clear all the, you know, dishes that seemed to have migrated upstairs and the protein bar wrappers on the floor and get all of those things down to the kitchen, because I think you can all understand that you have to pick up for the maid so that she can clean. And I was really frustrated because I complimented her last night when I saw her bringing all the dirty dishes down. But then this morning after she'd gone to school, I walked in the room, and I guess it's that assumption you make that I assume she need not just bring the dishes down but pick up all the clothes and other things all over the floor in the room so that the maid could actually vacuum, because we've been through this 100 times before. But when she came down this morning, instead of focusing on what she didn't do, I said, Jacqueline, that was really so great that you brought all those dirty dishes down. Thank you so much. And my tendency would have been to go further. And I'm not, and I guess in your dishwasher example, it wouldn't necessarily be wrong to say, and you know, next time let's work on the rest of the whatever. But I just felt like since I need to go slowly and take baby steps, I stopped and bit my tongue and just thanked her for that little success. And I think it did change her mood this morning. So that was good to have a little early practice.
Well, and I love that, Teresa. I think that you're right. It's that there's times that you bite your tongue and you don't say and or but. I mean, we definitely don't say but. You know, it's like, thank you for bringing the dishes down,
but you didn't
do this. We absolutely don't want to say but. You know, if there's, you know, it's part of it is reading your kids' energy. It's like, you know, when you want to have a long enough pause that they feel like you really did appreciate it, and if it feels right, take them to the next level. And the reality is that if you're the parent that's going to always try to get them to do more, then they start interpreting the compliments as kind of backhanded compliments. Does that resonate, Teresa?
Yes, absolutely. And that is me. Fortunately, I usually try to give the backhanded compliments so that I can then get in the punch, you know. And I just need to, I mean, it's a learning, I mean, it's a big adjustment to take your 17 and a half year old and have to, like, you know, the reality is she's not like her peers, or a lot of them. She has a lot like that are like her, really, actually. But to just be happy there, especially because I do think our lack of connection is making everything go in one ear and out the other. So
hang on a second. I want to go back to something you said, if I can.
Okay.
You said that you notice that you're more likely to give the backhanded compliment so that you can go in for the punch.
Well, the for the goal that I want, like, you know, and actually it's the goal that I think she wants. Like, she wants, like, here's this kid, she's got four older sisters,
two went to Emory and two went to UGA, and this is a desire in her heart. But I see that some of her behaviors of letting herself get distracted in the critical junior year where everything matters, you know, I'm having trouble balancing that. Maybe it's not the punch, it's that I want her to get to where I know she wants to go, but she doesn't recognize that some of her behaviors are, while she's got it, like she's on the cusp of total success in terms of where she might want to go to college, but it's so easy as you're about to take your last ACT or two or get through the last 6 weeks of school and get the grades you need. She's there, but it can all change so fast. And so I'm trying to help her focus on the goal without putting too much pressure on her.
Well, but so hang on a second. So I guess the question that's kind of popping into my head is how much of this is about your fear versus your wanting to help her achieve what she wants to achieve?
I'm sure it's a lot about fear. I'm sure you're right. It's not like you're right or you're wrong, but I think that, yes, that's probably accurate. I think I guess I am fearful. First of all, I've been an overachiever all my life, and I am fearful for her not being successful and what that might do to her when she's had four older sisters accomplish so much. And she's perfectly capable of it. There's no question about it. But she has way more distractions in her life than they ever had. I mean, even in just the different, you know, 3 to 5 year periods because she's very distracted by her phone, very, very distracted.
Yeah. Well, and so the thing that comes up for me, Teresa, as you're talking about, you know, her goals, and we do this a lot where it's like, mm-hmm. you know, my kid wants to go to college, this college, and so I know that they need to have X, Y, and Z to go to their college, so I'm going to push them really hard to get this so that they can get their goal. And the reality is that it's well-meaning and misses an enormous opportunity, right? So if you've got your daughter's situation, having a conscious conversation that says, I know that you want to try to get this grade in this class so that you can get this situation in college, and it's really about what happens on a day-to-day basis rather than the long-term goal for her. Because today she might be so exhausted that her ability to push through is zero. And you'll miss that if you're focused on, but she wants to go to Harvard. I'm making that up because I don't think your daughter wants to go to Harvard.
Right, right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Right. So what comes up for you as I say that, Teresa?
Well, I'm confused because a lot of what happens in the day-to-day where she doesn't have the energy, she brings on herself because, for example, she takes the ACT on Saturday. She has prom on Saturday. And so yesterday, and she has three lacrosse games this week, which essentially eliminate almost any homework time. So yesterday after lacrosse practice, she calls me and says, or texts me and says, this is my latest homework week, and we want to go out for ice cream as a team. And I know that because this is her lightest homework day, that's an opportunity to get to bed early because the rest of her week is going to be horrific, and she's not even anticipating what all the homework assignments are. But I just said, well, honey, if you're comfortable with your homework and ACT on Saturday, that's fine. And so, again, that was kind of biting my tongue, but I don't know if that is the best way to redirect her, because it's a problem. I feel like I do know, I do know she's a time optimist, and I see her getting exhausted week after week because she doesn't anticipate how if she works well today when she doesn't have a lot, it's going to make the rest of the week go easier. So
yeah.
I'm just
so hang on. Yeah, I see the conflict, right? So it's this sort of, you can see that the decision she's making may not be the best ones, and you're trying to give her choices. And so there's two ways to handle it. You can either handle it proactively or retroactively. And part of what you're trying to do is to help her to become more and more aware of her tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
So go back to the beating the camera. You know, what could you, like Waffle House conversation, right? So what could you tell her that you noticed? I noticed last week that you had this opportunity to go out and have ice cream with your friends. And part of me honestly wanted to say, but wait, you need your sleep because I know later in the week it's going to get busier. But I didn't want to do that because I didn't want to burst your bubble because I knew you were excited about it. And just kind of being transparent about the conflict you see to see how aware she is of that conflict for herself. How does that resonate with you?
That resonates well. How do you choose between that retroactive and proactive approach? Because
it
seems like the retroactive approach is more, well, you're not triggered, but then you feel the pressure of what the goal is that week.
Right. I think it's hard to have the conversation proactively if you haven't had the conversation retroactively. So
that makes sense.
My daughter's 18, right? So she's in that same boat. Mm-hmm. She has magical thinking when it comes to timing. It's like, yeah, I can get this done on Sunday night in the 5 minutes between church and music and everything else, right? And so this sort of thing. And we've had enough retroactive conversations where I've said, hey, what happened? I know you wanted to get this done on Sunday and it doesn't seem like it happened. What did you notice? Right. And so, and not only what did you notice, it's like, what do you want to try next time? Well, next time I need to be not so optimistic about how much I can fit in one day. Well, what can I do to help you? Well, if you can be my check-in or, and you get permission to have the conversation proactively so that the next time you say, well, this is one of those times you can do what you want to do, but I want to, if you're open, I'd like to share what I see and what concerns might be true about this whole ice cream visit tonight.
I love that.
Okay. So what's coming up for everybody else as Teresa and I are having this conversation?
This is Erin. I relate to all of that. And what I've actually noticed for me, it's different from that in that I, like, this was a little example that happened yesterday, but it's with this championing and celebration. But my son drove all the way to golf practice, which is really far, and didn't have his golf club and had to come home. He missed practice. And he called me and he says, God, I'm so stupid. Forgot my golf clubs. And I just was kind of in the right space, I think, because part of me, I was like, oh my God, you forgot your golf, you know, like, also a little bit frustrated, but I actually responded completely differently. And I was in this really compassionate space with him. And I said, you know what, honey? I said, I can't remember a time when you've ever done this before. And that's the truth. And I just really focused on that. And I'm like, can you cut yourself some slack? It's okay. And by the time we got off the phone, he was just in such a better place. And I was too. So I guess what I got from it is, just in that moment, that high level of connection and compassion seemed to be really positive, really good for him.
Yeah. So, well, and that's the compassion piece. So thank you for adding that. I think that that's something, Teresa, I'm hoping that that might be helpful for you to build into this, is that,
that
it makes
was
perfect
beautiful.
Sense.
Yes.
Yeah. It makes perfect sense that she'd want to go out for ice cream with her friends. Nobody wants to do homework. I mean, or go to bed early. I mean, it's. Cool.
Yeah,
right.
that was a great reminder. Thank you.
Other thoughts about celebration and championing? Rachel, how can you build some of this into the morning adventures?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great place to do it. And I feel like I've kind of, that's part of been with my connecting with him as I've been kind of being that cheerleader voice and trying to really, you know, praise verbally, you know, everything that he's doing, because he does do a lot of things that are great. So I think more
what do you,
of that.
What do you notice changes when you focus on celebrating?
The mood gets lighter. He feels good. I feel good. We feel more connected. That's kind of what I notice.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you feel more connected, how does your ability to collaborate with him change?
Oh, yeah. No, then it's his love, his motivation is there. Much more so than it would be if we weren't as connected.
Yeah. So you're in this situation where you're already trying to do this, and it sounds like it's a matter of kind of continuing on the path and remembering and encouraging. Let's go back to mornings and more independence. I guess I'm kind of curious because it sounds like you're seeing the progress. And if I'm honest, that Artie, you're looking for more evidence. Is that fair?
No, I'm not looking for more evidence. I get it. I'm just saying, like, I constantly need a reminder because in so many ways he excels at 10 and beyond that I just get caught off guard and think, you know, why is he not, you know, why is he all of a sudden not?
Well, so, Artie, I'm curious because you guys have been – doing this for, you know, several months. What do you see as some of the successes you've had since you've been focused on making changes on your side so that Shane can make some changes on his side?
Say that again.
What are some of the successes that you could reflect on from the last 3 to 4 months?
For me?
Mm-hmm. And Shane.
Well, listen, Shane is Shane, and he's going to be, you know, he's going to be the son of a mother and father who he's going to grow and react to the love that we put in. And I think for me, it's that, you know, like I can't say it enough, that awareness that I need to hold, you know, in his that 3 to 5 year thing, you know, because He, it's weird. Athletically, he functions as if he's 3 years ahead of where he is. Socially, he functions ahead of where he is. And it's just all of a sudden, you know, you say you can't do this or whatever it is, and he just melts. And his emotional regulation, I guess, is 3 to 5 years behind. Behind where it should be, you know. So it's my awareness. It's that I got to keep it on the forefront. That you know, in some areas he is 3 to 5 years behind, and that's where I've evolved from it with this program, is just learning that, and you know, these constant reminders through these phone calls, and Rachel and I have a conversation, hear other parents sharing the same thing, it's helpful. So my awareness is where I've evolved. And of course, with my awareness, my actions have changed. I'm not always perfect, but, you know, I'm making progress.
Well, so, Artie, I guess the question is, it sounds like you're making some good progress, and that you want to remember this 3 to 5 thing more often. I mean, do you like tattoo it on Shane's head? Do you have it be a mantra that you say over and over again? It's like, what do you do to begin to kind of just get to the place where it feels like, I guess it
where
feels
my wife
okay.
Remind me all the time that it's 3 to 5 years back. Yeah, I don't know. Just continue to do this.
Well, and I guess the thing that kind of is coming up for me, Artie, is this idea, and we all get into this habit. It's like we're focusing on the change we want to see instead of the changes we've seen, right? And it's this sort of, if we focus on what's not working, it's going to drag our energy down. We're more likely to get triggered. We're more likely to, you know, be impatient with our kids, all those things we know we don't want to be. If we focus on the successes, you know, so is there a practice or a routine or something you could get into where it's like, you know, every day you identified three things that are awesome about your kid or about yourself or about your wife or about whatever, kind of stay in that habit of focusing on what's working.
I didn't understand the question.
What would change if you focus? You can see that that focusing on what's working is more helpful than focusing on what's not. How do you begin to remember to do that?
Well, I think you're misunderstanding me. I'm not a big. I'm very positive with Shane. You know, I don't. I'm never tell him no. You can't do this. Not that. You're wrong. Well, I'm always very. You know, what I say to him and what I, you know, is directed in a positive fashion. My issue is simply remembering, like last night when I tell him, you know, you're not going back outside to play after dinner, and him, you know, oh my God, you know, for me to just, I didn't lose my temper or anything. It's just, you know, I'm scratching my head like, what does this kid not understand, you know?
Yeah, so it's because for you, it seems normal. It's like, we can't do that, and here's why, and for
right.
him, it's
and
triggering.
Right, sorry, what are you going crazy about? It's not going to happen.
So what is the going crazy? So the going crazy is transition management, right? So this is a kid who had his mind and heart and every ounce of his being set on doing something, and all of a sudden you go,
right.
You know, stop the car, you don't get to do that, right? And so it's helping him to learn. It's no different than saying, I'm taking you to Disneyland, and then all of a sudden saying, oops, nope, just kidding.
Yeah. No, I get it, you know, I just have to keep that on the forefront of my, you know, I'll keep that on the front of my plate because it's not always there. Because it's, you know, it's just not always there. But he's not 3 to 5 years behind in the other areas.
Play. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I want to move us into wrap up. This has been a really good conversation, both about kind of our inability as parents to kind of focus on what's working and kind of how our kids hear it or don't hear it. So I'm going to move to page 49 and let's answer our four questions and wrap up the conversation. What did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or takeaway? What's an aha that I had? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success with this action? So take a couple minutes, jot down some notes, and then let's everybody share at least an aha and what you're going to do in terms of action for the next couple weeks.
This is Erin, if I may go really quick before it gets noisy here. So my aha was really what I already said, of just realizing how my sort of forgetter kicked in about all the progress we've made. And that just feels really prominent for me right now. And I think to build on that in these next steps I talked about taking with him.
Cool. Awesome. Teresa?
Well, I focused a lot on what is working, focusing on that and seeing how I can apply that to what's not working, but not going and focusing on the what's not working so that we can celebrate those successes. And also there was a big aha when you said, and then you get a sense at that point of whether you can follow it with the and next time, blah, blah, blah. To redirect, it depends on the moment and where they are and where you are, I think. And I think one of the clarity, I loved your the prompt about the coaching about you can handle things proactively versus retroactively. And so I'm going to succumb less to the urgent need to kind of you know, coach or redirect, and then I'm going to let the week play out in spite of some of the urgent pressures, and then try to get her calmly to look back and say, hey, did that work out? And I may be surprised. She may have had a very good handle on her time. And maybe I'm the one that's going to learn something at the end of the week. So,
yeah.
So anyway, I also, in terms of an action step, and I really want to think and reflect on what this means for me with Jacqueline, because I know that she's even verbalized to me, you know, that I feel like I always disappoint her, and that's absolutely never been or is my intention. And so it hurts me that she feels like she disappoints me all the time. So I want to focus on that. If you believe in them, they're more likely to believe in themselves. And what is that going to mean for me in terms of communicating that to her?
I love that.
And maybe you
that.
Can help me with how I can set myself up for success with that.
Well, I think that it's part of it is figuring out, you know, what, you know, how do you remember things, right? So whenever we want to create a new habit, like if your dentist tells you you need to start flossing, you figure out what your motivation is to floss, and you mm-hmm. figure out some way to build it into your routine. And so it sounds like you've got motivation to do this because you want her to feel like you're her champion. So
mm-hmm.
what's your trigger? You know, it's like every time she comes in the door, or at least once a day, or, you know, what do you do to remember every time you see her, I'm my daughter's champion, or what, you know, what is it that kind of mm-hmm. is your trigger?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cool.
Okay, right. Thank you.
Artie and Rachel, what about you guys?
I think, you know, like you suggested, building the praise into the morning, you know, make more of a conscious effort to do that, and see how that, look at the successes and try and build on that.
Cool. Artie, what would you add?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything to add. Just, you know, just keep it positive.
Cool. Awesome. All right, guys, great call today. Thank you very much for being here. Next week is an office hour call on Thursday at noon Eastern, and then we're with PSS again the week of the 22nd. So we'll talk to y'all soon.
Thank you so much,
Diane. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye.